folks there. They're going to help you with the radio advertising, your return on investment. And then they're going to talk to you about some digital media. And one of the coolest things is geofencing and how they can really have direct marketing and have a direct impact. You want to maximize your advertising dollar. You want to maximize your company's exposure and create the awareness to the specific customers you're looking for. Let Burns Digital Media Group take care of that for you. These are very, very talented people that know this market and know them backwards and forwards. Let them help you out. It's our great friends over at right across the hallway over here at Burns Digital Media. Go to theroarfm.com. Click on the advertising page. Get in touch with our GM and our sales staff to help you out with all of that. To our guest lines, Tony Morrell of thebigspur.com. Good morning, Tony. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing well, Mickey. How about you?
I'm doing great. Look, I'm thinking about this because I've been out of town and you've been out of town. Had we done this segment 3 weeks ago, it would have been all doom and gloom. The Gamecocks will never sign anybody ever again. They'll shut the program down. If we did the show this week, it's like, oh, man, we're going to get everybody. Shane Beamer's recruiting at a hot breakneck pace now. We're going to get everybody. It's amazing, like, just the same program, by the way. You're on the same website. I'm on the same radio show. But, boy, how perceptions can go back and forth in these emotional fan bases. I'll let you speak to where you were a month ago and where you are now and just some emotional roller coasters in recruiting.
Yeah, it definitely was an interesting 3 weeks or so in recruiting for South Carolina. You know, we knew they were in a battle for Tamari Matthews and Tamarion Watkins, and we knew that both of those players had very lucrative offers on the table. You know, Matthews from Texas and Miami, and Watkins from Texas A&M. And, you know, I haven't confirmed the figures, so I don't want to throw an inaccurate number out there, but from what I understand, you know, they were figures that, you know, South Carolina just was not in a position to meet, nor did they, you know, really want to try to pay that much money for either one of the players. But and they both chose to chase the money, so to speak, and you know, Watkins picked Texas A&M, Matthews picked Texas, and they were both losses for South Carolina, both, you know, big priority players. But yeah, we'll see how it plays out. It may or may not be over with those two, depending on what happens with the clearinghouse and whether their deals get approved and things along those lines. I think both players will probably come to South Carolina for a game this season, at least one, and we'll see where they go from there. But, you know, they missed on them, but, you know, it happens sometimes. You're not going to get everybody, but like you said, things have turned pretty quickly since then, and South Carolina has gone on a nice run on the offensive side of the ball. Getting Landon Duckworth back in the fold was a big piece of the puzzle for them, and they didn't have a quarterback committed in this class, and Duckworth is a guy I really like on film. He's an electric player, throws it really well, can also make things happen with his feet. He was an Elite 11 selection, and he really stacked up well out in California with the nation's best quarterbacks during that event. And you know, it was big for them to get him back. They also picked up Kamari Blair, 3-star offensive tackle from the state of Tennessee, and was a player that Tennessee had prioritized and really wanted him. He's actually a 4-star in a 24/7 composite rankings, but you know, I think it was a win for Lonnie Teasley to go into the state of Tennessee and get a player of Blair's caliber that Tennessee wanted. You know, there was a time in the process where Tennessee thought they had him, and but he ended up picking the Gamecocks, and it was certainly a good one. And then Tristan Lewis is one of the more intriguing players South Carolina has taken in this class. You know, he was their backup plan to Watkins. He's the quarterback for Greenwood right now, but a guy who came to their camp, measured 6'3", you know, just under 200 pounds. He played quarterback and safety during their 7-on-7 tournament at South Carolina and really caught the coaching staff's attention with the way he played on defense. And, you know, they started talking to him more and more as it became apparent they may not get Watkins, and offered him not long after Watkins committed to Texas A&M, and he committed immediately. and was a guy that's going to be interesting to see how he develops. You know, I've heard a lot of good things about him from some sources inside Greenwood's program. They think he's a really good athlete and a guy who has a lot of tools to, for Torian Gray to build on and potentially turn him into a contributor in the secondary.
All right, so that said, a quarterback, does that close the board off now? Are they done at quarterback?
Yes, done it. Just one quarterback's all they wanted.
All right, with Blair on the offensive line, what's the rest of the board? What's that do to the board and the priorities there?
I think they would like to take one more if they can get him. JB Shabazz is probably the most likely candidate right now, but you never know who might emerge. And they watch someone play as a senior and offer them, but Darius Gray is obviously the big priority there on the interior, and is a guy that they're battling LSU, Tennessee, Ohio State, Clemson, some big time schools for him, but they feel like they're still in the thick of it, and we'll see how that one plays out.
And then Lewis at safety, is there room for more safeties?
I think they would take Watkins if they could get him. Beyond that, I don't know if they would recruit another one. Again, Torian Gray does like to watch guys play as seniors and has been known to offer some guys after he sees them play if he's impressed enough with them. But I think right now Watkins would be the primary target that's still on the board at safety.
Tony Morales, I guess, TheBigSpur.com. We're talking Gamecock recruiting at this point. The season practice will be kicked off here in about 10 days or so. Still putting a bow on this the summertime of class. Are we waiting on a couple guys? Do we know that guys, several guys that will be making announcements between now and maybe the 1st of August, first of practice starting?
Amari Thomas is a running back who recently decommitted from Florida State, and he plans to announce on August 9th. Is his plan right now. So he's probably the biggest guy. Darius Gray has gone back and forth on when he's going to announce. He's talked about doing it before senior season begins. He's also talked about waiting. So we'll see how that one plays out and whether he decides to make a decision or not. But right now, Amari Thomas is the one of the primary targets who plans to announce here in about 20 days or so.
All right. With that said, what positions will they go into the fall? You talk about watching guys in their senior year, and obviously the transfer portal has changed a lot of that. But are there positions which you can see them make movements with players in the fall?
Well, I think edge is the position where they've not met their needs as of yet, and they're going to continue to recruit Julian Walker, who committed to Michigan. They're continuing to recruit Zion Ealy, number one edge in the country, who's committed to Maryland. But I would also expect them to watch some guys and potentially, if they find someone that they believe is good enough, especially if they don't feel good about their chances of flipping Walker, Ealy, I could see them pulling the trigger and offering an edge and getting involved with a couple of guys that we haven't heard about as of yet. Caden Ramsey at tight end is a guy that they've offered, and I think they'll probably land him. If they were to miss on him, they could offer another tight end, but I think they'll get Ramsey. They're still watching a couple wide receivers, Amari Acker, Brody Keith, both guys who are committed to other schools. But certainly they'll take a look at a number of players in September, especially, and once they get that senior film and you get a better feel for how certain guys have developed, they'll make their decisions. But really have to look no further than Lenora Sellers as an example of a guy who did not have an offer from South Carolina going into his senior season, and they watched him play every week, and he just got better and better and better, and they made the offer and ended up landing them, and the rest is history. So just because a guy doesn't have an offer right now doesn't mean they're not good enough. And so we'll see what names emerge during the season.
I hate to ask you this because I know you get asked 100,000 times a day, but Rashawn Faison, the running back, any time frame and B, any thought about what might be going on?
Well, they thought they would potentially have a decision by the end of last week. That didn't happen, so now they're hoping to get a decision this week. I wish I had, some specifics to offer as to exactly what the NCAA is looking for. I think South Carolina has submitted all the information that's been requested of them and have made their case, and they believe he meets the criteria for an additional year of eligibility. But whether the NCAA agrees remains to be seen. And, I think the committee meets twice a week to make decisions on cases like this. And they're hopeful that they'll get an answer by the end of the week. I've talked to a couple of people who were, I would say, seem to be leaning towards, just based on how long the process has taken and the way it's unfolded, they were leaning towards, maybe he wouldn't get cleared. To at least one of those is now a little bit more positive and seems to think he has a better than average chance now of being cleared. So it's been a roller coaster ride that has gone back and forth. And when you're dealing with the NCAA and a committee like this, there's just no way to know for sure how things are going to play out. But South Carolina certainly believes he has a good case. His attorney believes he has a good case. And he's a guy they need. He's the best back on the team right now. And, I think it would be a blow to their offense and a blow to their hopes this season of having a really good year if he is not cleared, because, I think he's the kind of back they need to replace Rocket Sanders. They really need someone who can be dynamic and make some game-changing type runs and some big plays, and I think he's capable of doing that. So we'll see how it plays out and see whether he gets a decision this week or not.
All right, I've got a gut on this one, and I don't have any inside information, but tell me if you can see my logic behind my gut. I think if you're going to rule someone ineligible, then the sting of it is one thing, but making them wait this long and then say they're ineligible, that's like extra cruelty. That the longer it goes, the better it is. And I'm sure there's some flaws to that, but can you see my line of thinking in that, man, if you're going to make the kid wait this long, it might be for a reason that you wait, but, man, it'd be awfully cruel to say to go this long and then pull the rug out from underneath him.
Yeah, there's no question. And I don't think anybody, at least on South Carolina's end, expected to still be waiting on a decision in July on him. I mean, this thing started back in January when he arrived at South Carolina and has just gone on far, far longer than anyone expected. So, I see your logic, and for his sake, I hope you're right, because it would be, more than just a sting. It'd be a snake bite if he had to wait this long only to be told he's ineligible. We're, like you said, about 10 days before fall practice getting underway, 9 days, and he still doesn't have an answer. And if he were to find out the answer is no, he's left in limbo and really has, where does he go?
Yeah.
I mean, he can't go to the NFL at this stage. So it would be a tough pill to swallow for sure.
Now, and to be fair and consistent, I mean, 7 years. I can't make an argument for 7 years. Like I would turn him down. I don't think anybody needs to play more than 5 years. But now you got the 6 people making an argument, 7 people making an argument, and I know there's different days and how long he was at certain places. But at some point in time, you got to draw some line. And that sounds bad. That's the Clemson station saying that. But I mean, 7 years. I can't make an argument for it. Now apparently they made a good argument because I still don't know. But
yeah,
I'm
with you. I mean, yeah. I do too. And I think the Pavia rule is part of the equation with him having, spent 3 years at junior college. That's part of the argument. you know, it's, but it's, there's no question it's convoluted, and you know, I don't think it's straightforward.
Yeah.
But you know, South Carolina, from what they've been able to put together, believes he has a good case. So we'll see how it plays out.
No doubt. All right. Speaking of playing out, a lot to be played out, a lot on the website. Tell us how I can subscribe. What's coming up on thebigspur.com?
Yeah, we are going to continue to preview fall practice, positional previews, player previews. You know, still recruiting activity with the players they're still after. Practice will be here before you know it, and we'll have daily coverage of the team before, during, and after each practice. So it'd be a great time to join to get all the great Gamecock info this season. Just go to thebigspur.com and become a premium member today.
If we can, let's visit where we are and talk about previewing some spring practice, because I mean fall practice, I should say, because it will be 1 week closer when we visit next Tuesday. Hope you have a great week, my friend. I always look forward to talking to you next week.
Sounds good. You too.
All right. Tony Morrell of thebigspur.com. Get in touch with our great friends, Upcountry Fiber, for a strong connection. It's Upcountry Fiber. They do an incredible job. Television, home phones, your fastest internet available. Don't sign contracts. Go with the best. Hope it's in your neighborhood. Go to see where they are right now. Home or business, phones, television, internet, the very fastest in the five upstate counties. Anderson, Pickens, Oconee, Greenville, and Spartanburg counties. It's my great friends, Upcountry Fiber, for that stronger connection, upcountryfiber.com. Much more on the other side, including your phone calls after this.
You know, I couldn't stop talking about it to my family and friends. My knees are my trouble spot. But for me to tell them now that I'm doing so much better, they were amazed, and I've been amazed.
QC Kinetics Cellular Therapies. Yes, it is amazing how these non-surgical treatments deliver joint pain relief for patients like Dr. Eric Williams, a successful chiropractor.
Each week, I just started noticing that I could sleep and not have pain. I could play pickleball. I could do a CrossFit exercise routine.
QC Kinetics revitalizes your joints so you can move again without the pain pills or invasive surgery.
You know, I'm 60 years old and I want to stay competitive as long as I can. And QC has allowed me to do that. They did me right and really made a difference in my life.
Book your free consultation with QC Kinetics today and experience the difference for yourself.
I like to go, 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 move, move, move.
QC Kinetics.
Call QC Kinetics, 864-448-3772. That's 864-448-3772. 864-448-3772.
Hello, sports fans. This is Bosie Boggs of the Boggs Law Firm, located in Greenville, South Carolina, but serving the upstate for over 20 years. We've always been happy to be long-term sponsors of the Mickey Plyler Show, WCCP. Just thank all the listeners who have used our firm in the past. And anyone who has a legal question in the future, don't hesitate to call us at 233-8066 or find us on the web at www.boggslawfirm.com. No case is too big or small, and I'd be happy to talk to you personally about your situation. And if I can't help you, I'll find someone that does.
Hey guys, dealing with ED or low T? Don't just accept it. Act like a man and fix it. Your old lady will thank you. Guaranteed. At Low Country Male, testosterone and ED plans start at just $5 a day. You'll get labs, unlimited doctor visits, and real results. Right now, get 2 months of free ED meds with any new plan, plus 30% off NAD Plus and peptides. With 8 South Carolina locations, it's time to make men men again. Visit lowcountrymale.com.
Call the plumber whose name is his number one, Tom Plumber.
One Tom Plumber will be there in an hour, or they'll discount your bill.
In 1 hour?
Yeah, just dial the number one, then Tom Plumber.
That's their name.
That's their number.
Call the plumber whose name is his number one, Tom Plumber.
The best 13 to 16-year-old baseball players come together July 26th through August 2nd as Little League International presents the Senior League Baseball World Series at J.B. Owens Ballpark in Easley. See U.S. teams in action along with Asia, Europe, Australia, Latin America, and Canada. You can be part of this sports spectacular in person. July 26th through August 2nd, the Senior League Baseball World Series games daily at J.B. Owens Ballpark in Easley. Find out on social media under Senior League Baseball World Series.
Coming to the Walhalla Performing Arts Center on August 15th, it's Sweet Baby James, America's number one James Taylor tribute, featuring Nashville's own Bill Grisa. No wigs, no gimmicks, just Grisa's stunning vocals and guitar playing that fans call spot on. The next best thing to James, and a refreshingly authentic stage presence. Sing along to classics like Fire and Rain, You've Got a Friend, and How Sweet It Is, in a night honoring one of music's most beloved icons. Get your tickets now at WalhallaPack.com.
Live and local sports talk coming to you from the Upcountry Fiber Studios.
This is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar.
Serving the five counties of the South Carolina Upstate, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
Ready, ready!
Saturdays in the South start right here with college football talk all summer long on The Roar, part of the ESPN family.
Welcome back. Glad to have you with us. A busy Tuesday show. Appreciate both guests today. I want to tell you about Harbin Lumber. Remember the number 353-5053. Full service lumber yard, installed services. That's the cabinets and the garage doors and the decks and the screening porches. They do all of that. The exterior products, all of the doors and the sidings and the roofing and the shingles and the interior, all the insulation and all of the great folks can help you out. It's our great friends over at Harbin Lumber since 1917. Making dreams come through. HarbinLumber.com. Harbin Lumber. Remember the number, 353-5053. All right, I got a lot to do on our Adams & Co. Roofing text line. Phone lines as well. 654-ROAR, 654-7627. On the Faison stuff, 3936 said, this is a joke, he shouldn't be eligible. Yeah. There's always extenuating circumstances. That's why you can't get into the subjectivity of it. You see, the number five is not a subjective number. But five or six is. And five, six, or seven is. Five, six, or seven, eight. You were telling me, Landon, during the break, we got a 30-year-old wide receiver in college football this year.
Yes, in Arkansas, Monte Harrison. He played in the MLB. He got drafted, and a lot of times when you get drafted out of high school, some teams will put a inside your contract, will give you 4 years of college within your contract, and you can always come back and you can play college. It just has to be a different sport. J.R. Smith did it. He came back and played college golf after playing in the NBA.
Yeah.
So he was about, 33, 34 playing college golf.
And yeah.
I mean, golf's a little bit different. But, yeah, Monte Harrison is – I think he's technically a sophomore, too.
The reason that happened is because he didn't go to college to begin with.
Yeah.
And so your clock starts no matter what your age is. You can't have age discrimination. That's against the law. So you start your clock five to play four. But the problem here is not five to play four. It's six and seven and eight. And they just got themselves into a mess. I've told the story many times on the air. I was part of an organization many years ago on campus at Clemson, and we were always bickering about our bylaws, and we were always talking about this, and our policies. And one of the points I always made was that man, the more rules you have, and the more laws and bylaws you have, then you got to adhere to them, and then you got to have, put those that don't adhere to them, you got to have some deterrence. Right, some penalties through all that. And so we were trying to make all these rules, and I was like, man, we don't need more rules. We need to enforce the ones we have, but we need to make the rules we have clearer. More clear. Clearer, more clear. Make them more clear. The fact of the matter is that there was nothing wrong with the eligibility rule. Matter of fact, the only thing that needed to be changed, and Tommy West talked about this many years ago with me, is that let's give them five to play five. No red shirts, no medical hardships. Because then you got to get into, and NCAA gotten this, is it, well, my granddad has cancer, so I want to transfer back, and I need an extra year. And, well, I missed this many games. I only played this many plays, and so I needed a sixth year because my fifth year I had two knee surgeries instead of one. One was an ankle and one was a knee, and then, all right, was it the same injury? Was it the same leg? Like, then you start getting into things that just make no sense whatsoever. Like, you know, now I got to decide we're gonna allow one guy to transfer again next year and the other guy's not, based upon a relative having cancer. How far down the line is it? Is it your mom? Is it your grandma? What level of cancer? What kind of cancer? Like, you're on these boards, these committees, like, there's no way that subjectively you can be fair, because to be honest with you, my grandmom's skin cancer is more important than your grandmom's lung cancer. You know, I mean, like, it's my grandmother. You can try to tell me that my grandmother's illness is not as important as your grandmother's illness? You're out of your mind. It's the most important thing to me, right?
Is she cranky? Is she a knitting grandma, or is she a cookie grandma?
Right. Is she your maternal grandmother or your paternal grandmother? Because everybody knows you got to be closer to this one than that one. Like, why would you subject yourself to all this? This is where they made the mistakes. The biggest mistake they ever made was caving to Justin Fields.
Ooh, yeah.
I mean, Fields, let's face it, the reason that they caved was because they didn't want Al Sharpton or Jesse Jackson, and they didn't want the racial overtones of them being on the steps, and you don't want that on steps of your building. That's it. And so then you got to go, well, that guy said this, and how about what the other guy said? Can't let him play that. I mean, Justin Fields' sister still stayed at Georgia. Georgia was such a racial place that his sister even stayed. Like, what? That's obviously what they were using it for. And then, you know, whole thing about grad transfers. Oh, well, they don't have my major. You could be a pre-med school student, right? Playing at UCLA. And UCLA has a med school. And you go to med school. But I want to play at Southern Cal. So I'm gonna do a music major for my second major. Wait a minute, man. Just because you want to play at Southern Cal? Like, we got in all the subjective things in there. Don't make them sit out for every transfer. Once you start saying, yeah, but this one we're going to let do that, because then that's it. That's it. And then 5 is the clock. It's 5. That's easy. Not 6, not 7, not 8, not 9. We had the Miami guy 9, didn't he? Like, what are we doing?
I understand the COVID, the extra year there, but that is, I mean, that's a once-in-a-lifetime exception. And everyone went through it. It was not a per-case basis. It was, okay, everyone gets an extra year. And that makes sense to me. We're not going to have to see that again, knock on wood.
Texture 9866, is your grandmother your paternal guardian? See, you got all that, man. This is what, like, we do this in sports too, though. Is it a catch or not? Well, you got to continue the catch to the ground. Like, what? Either you caught it or you didn't catch it. The tuck rule. Is it a fumble or not a fumble? Well, it depends on this. You got this. No, man, once you start getting into all that, you are allowing yourself to have to change everything. The system wasn't broken. Texture says the system was being played. Everyone knows the system's being played, and everyone turns a blind eye to it.
It's like we've said multiple times. It's the NCAA never stops digging. They just hand the shovel to someone else.
That's right.
Like, they always try to fix problems that they've already created. But instead of just saying, hey, we messed up, I think we should just revert back to what it was. It's going to be, well, actually, maybe we'll start digging another tunnel over here. Maybe we'll try to fix it this way. But actually, it just causes more issues, more as we go.
7063 says, 7 years in school, does he even have a degree? Like, oh, no, how can you have a degree? You're going to 5 different schools. You know, you got transfer credits. Some are accepted, some aren't. A degree. How silly of you to think that a student athlete would be wanting some sort of degree.
We ain't here to play school.
I mean, what are we? Are you crazy? We're here to give them a bunch of money so they can continue to play football. Man, we've just lost our way through all that.
He has already earned his degree from Utah State.
How long was it Utah State?
2 years, I'm pretty sure.
So, yeah, degree in interdisciplinary studies from Utah State. Good for you, man. That was in 24. Good for you. So he played in high school in 2018. His high school season of 2018. He was a freshman at Marshall in 2019. Left there in 2020, went to Lackawanna Community College, Scranton, Pennsylvania. Left there in 2021 and went to Snow College in Utah. He was a redshirt junior at Snow College in 2022. So put 21, 22 at Snow. Then in 23 and 24, played at Utah State. So here's how South Carolina's media guide puts it, okay? Freshman year, enrolled at Marshall in 19. Redshirt freshman year at Lackawanna Community College in 2020. Redshirt sophomore year in 2021 at Snow. Redshirt junior year in 2022 at Snow. Redshirt senior year in 2023 at Utah State. Sixth year at Utah State 2024. And now seventh year applying at South Carolina. So Marshall, Lackawanna, Snow, Utah State, South Carolina. Five schools in 7 years. And it was the model that we want to do. And again, he's a great kid, I'm sure. He's a good guy. He's a great running back. And good on you. But this has nothing to do with him. Like, you got to draw some line somewhere. Yeah. So that's just not right.
Yeah, I think he's trying to say this is either his redshirt senior year or his fifth year, because he gray shirted at Marshall, and then at Lackawanna they didn't have a season because of COVID and stuff. And then 2021, it says he did not play for Snow, so there's his red shirt.
He got a gray shirt, a COVID, and a red shirt.
Yeah,
but then he's already played four of the years.
Yeah, because then in 2022 he played, 2023 he played, 2024 he played. So is he trying to say this should be his senior year, technically, or should this be his redshirt senior year?
No. That's like my son.
I'm just wondering what his argument is. Like, what did he send to the NCAA? Did he say this is his redshirt senior year because of the gray shirt, the red shirt, and then COVID?
He got a lot of colors of shirts in there.
Yeah, there's probably a yellow somewhere. I don't know.
Yeah. It's like when my son, we're leaving the Yankees game the other day, Yankees Braves game. I paid $1,000 to go down there with the tickets, the hotel, and the food and everything. Like, basically $1,000, right? And we're leaving the game, and he's like, "Hey, Dad, are we going to go to Yankee Stadium next month?" Because I've kind of said, "Hey, man, we need to look at it. You know, like, let's look at flying up for a day for the weekend, you know." It's like, wrong time to ask, pal. I just dropped $1,000 on a baseball game. Like, wrong time to ask me that one. Like, at some point in time, you got to go, "You know what, man, I got the most out of this thing I could get." And I don't blame him. He's trying to make – he could go make $500,000 this year. Let me see. $500,000 or go to work for an insurance company and make $75,000. I'm going to go $500,000 play football. Who can blame him? What a screwed-up system, though, huh? 654-ROAR, 654-7627. Texter, let me see here. Bear with me a second. Texter asked about Brian Dawkins' Ring of Honor. Brian Dawkins was good at Clemson. He was better in the NFL. He's an NFL Hall of Famer. He's a Clemson Hall of Famer, but he's not a Clemson Ring of Honor guy. He was not good enough at Clemson for the Ring of Honor on that one. Texter asked, Mickey, on the Ring of Honor, who decides who gets in? There's a committee. Tim Beray and Bob Mahoney are on, among other, Bill DeAndre, I think, is on that committee. There's a committee to see who goes on through all that. It's an interesting story, man. Interesting dynamics of a Ring of Honor. And again, when you say someone's not Ring of Honor, you're like, "Oh man, he must be total garbage. He's rubbish." But the elite of the elite of the elite, right? Like the Hall of Fame. You know, an All-American, All-Conference, or starter to All-Conference, to All-American, to award finalist, to award winner, to Hall of Fame, to Ring of Honor. Steps in there. And you could be a Hall of Famer. Like, there's no doubt. Hunter Renfro is a Hall of Famer at Clemson. But he's not a Ring of Honor guy, in my opinion. Just the numbers wise. This is not even, but as important as it gets, Texas said, I want to know about Isaiah Simmons. Nah, not Isaiah Simmons. Texter 8844 said, I'm a Utah State alum and a huge fan. How do I know who he is and he's going to be good enough that he transferred to South Carolina? Yeah. Because he was only there for a short amount of time. All right. Short break. We'll come back, wrap things up. Final segment. We're going to tell you who's at the ACC Media Days and tell you what our broadcast schedule looks like. If you're Quark and a fan of Quark and a fan of Faxon, you're going to love the next 6 hours from Charlotte, North Carolina. Hey, my great friends at Patterson Tax Service want to do your taxes for you. They want to plan your taxes for you. They want to do your payroll, bookkeeping, accounting for you. They want to form your LLCs. They want to form your 501c3s. They want to file your back taxes. They want to file your extended taxes. They want to do a great job for you. They'll do it at the Patterson Tax Service, PATTX.com, PATTX.com, 864-859-8289, 864-859-8289. We'll take a short break. We'll come back. Final segment of a Tuesday show after this.
When you're hiring, have you ever felt like you're missing out on meeting truly great candidates for your roles? It seems impossible to find them, but they have to be out there somewhere, right? Well, they're not hard to find when you know where to go, and that place is ZipRecruiter. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day. And because these people are actively looking for jobs just like yours, it's easy to find the right person right away. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. But if you're not using ZipRecruiter, you're missing out. So see what it's like when the impossible is easy. When you go to ZipRecruiter.com/radio right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
At Ingles, we're proud to work with hundreds of local farms and businesses in the communities we call home. Not only does it ensure that you get top quality fresh items for your family table, it's a way for us to support the amazing individuals who pour their heart and soul into delivering the very best they can do. Quality, freshness, community, it's all in the bag. Ingles, low prices, love the savings.
Trust me, if they could do planes and trains, they would. In the meantime, Pendleton Tire Company does automobiles, trucks, and SUVs with trusted service on tires, lift kits, brakes, wheel alignments, and custom accessories for nearly 55 years. Pendleton Tire Company has taken care of generation after generation. Now it's your turn to discover why folks trust the team at Pendleton Tire Company. Open weekdays from 8 to 5, the Pendleton Tire Company on Mechanic Street in Pendleton. PendletonTire.com.
For quality luxury vinyl, engineered wood flooring, tile, carpet, custom area rugs, and solid hardwood, backed by professional installation and competitive pricing, depend on Greer Flooring Center, serving the Carolinas for over 30 years. Greer Flooring Center is on trend with the newest quality luxury vinyl flooring that is a perfect option for the active family with kids and pets. For the largest selection of home or business flooring, visit Greer Flooring Center, now open at 5606 Calhoun Memorial Highway. Ask about our available financing options.
Steve and Jerry here from the world-famous Beacon Drive-In in Spartanburg. Jerry, the Beacon opened back in 1946. How many years have we been serving great food at great prices?
Hey, Plante!
70 years. How many folks are we still serving every week?
Hey, Plante!
Well, like you always say, I like my job, but I love my customers. But can you say something other than hey, Plante?
Call it!
Join Steve
and Jerry
at the world-famous Beacon Drive-In, John White Boulevard in Spartanburg, where the food is still always good since 1946.
Mr. Rage here, inviting you to join 1994 Martha's Vineyard Croquet Tourney champion Ramona and all the Ragers on Tuesday as we begin to break down and revisit all things ACC football. We'll talk quarterbacks, coaches, rankings, schedule difficulty, top ACC talent, Clemson football. It's a Road Rage this Tuesday starting at 3.
Sports talk for people who love sports. Come on, there's no need to complicate things.
It can't be forced. It should just come about effortlessly.
We are the Roar, where every day is game day.
American Door Masters. They do an incredible job of fixing your garage doors. And look, this is from a commercial application as well. I didn't know dot levelers, and I didn't know anything about the dock equipment and how all that works out. But now they've got their edge of dock levelers and their bumpers and their shelters and their dock seals. They do all that dock equipment. They'll take care of it for you. American Door Masters, the commercial garage door company, residential garage door company, the service and repair company. So you got to get those tracks fixed. You got to get the cable repair fixed. You got to get the sensors fixed. You got to get the motors fixed or the tune-up or the garage door remote. They do it all for you. 990-3075, 990-3075. It's our great friends at AmericanDoorMasters.com. That's AmericanDoorMasters.com. So starting here in 15 minutes, Faxon and Kwok are at the ACC Media Days. The commissioner will speak this morning, and I'm sure will tell people how great Clemson and Florida State are now that the lawsuits are over. This time last year, he was a little apprehensive about those kind of things. So we'll talk about that. Then we'll get Miami, SMU, Stanford, Cal, and Virginia. Virginia was 5-7 last year. Stanford was 3-9. Cal 6-7. I wonder if Cal came over in the same plane as Stanford. Like their players came over. Is that a commercial flight? Is that a private flight? And then SMU was 11-3. Miami's 10-3. I'm sure the talk will be Miami in that. Boy, Mario Cristobal now has got it figured out, and that Mario Cristobal is going to win the ACC like every single year. I'm supposed to bow down to Mario Cristobal and everything's going to be fixed. But then you got this little thing called game day. Is Miami recruiting great? Yeah. Yeah, Miami's doing a great job recruiting. They're doing spend a lot of money in NIL? Yeah, yeah, they're doing a great job there. And he's made steps at Miami. This is year 4. 5-7 to 7-6 to 10-3. I don't hold him accountable for the 5-7 season to start things out. They, you know, there was a reason they made a coaching change. And Manny Diaz not lead them in good shape, and this is not a very good football team. And they went 5-7 in that first year. The second year, the thought was they were going to be much, much better. As it turned out, they got up to this great start, and they were ranked. Matter of fact, they got as high as number 17 in the country. But then, you know, just lost some games, inexplicably lost games. They were 17th in the country going to Georgia Tech game, and that's where they gave that game away. With the fumble rather than kneeling on the ball. But, you know, even then they were 6-2 and doing great, but then they lost 4 of the last 5. And then last year, you know, Miami was as high as number 4 in the country. One of the things happens to Mario Cristobal's teams, by the way. So, every year it's we're going to be great in September. And every year in November, they're bad. So let me give you these numbers here, friendos. In year 1, Miami, in the month of November or later, went 1-3. Miami was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I mean, going to November, sorry, they were 4. They were 4-4. And the reason they had a losing record is they went 1-3 in the month of November and later. In year 2, he went 1-4 from November on. They were in great shape. They were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They were 6-2 and in great shape. And then they finished up 1-4 from November on. And then last year, and I'm going to give them November's second win against Duke, but they were 2-3. From the November, month of November on. At Miami, once November calendar hits over and for the rest of the season, they are 4-10 under Mario Cristobal from November 1st on. And you might say, well, Mickey, that's just that Miami's trying to rebuild. Okay. At Oregon in his final year, in which they won 10 games, they were 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. They were 9-1. And then lost 3 of the last 4. The COVID year, you can't really count, but they were 3-0, and they lost three of their last four. In the 12-2 season, they were 1-2-3. They were 4-1 in November there. So that was a good one. In another season, like they had it rolling, but then they lost to Utah. Inexplicably, they lose games late in years. And I got to think that almost every coaching staff in the country would like to take pride in themselves in saying that we're playing our best football at the end of the year. And not every year, because you have injuries. And not every one of those years is Mario Cristobal's fault. What I'm telling you is his teams fall apart late in seasons. And what I'm telling you is I think that's partly due to coaching. Now, can you get enough talent that you can overcome that? Because a lot of teams can do that. Is that the case or not? Is it fair to criticize Mario Cristobal late in seasons? They seem to fall apart. Fair or not?
That's very fair. And there's a lot of things you can criticize Mario Cristobal for. One thing he's doing a good job of is building a solid offensive line and defensive line unit.
Agreed. Totally agree.
But outside of that, what's going on? What are we doing? They had one of the worst defenses in the nation last year.
Yeah.
Last year,
all you have to do is beat Georgia Tech or Syracuse. You're number 4 in the country and number 6 in the country. All you got to do is beat Georgia Tech or Syracuse, and you go to the ACC championship game, and you can't beat either one. Like, there's something in there, right? So and maybe there's enough talent. Maybe you can end up having enough talent that you can eventually overcome all that.
I mean, maybe it's not a Mario Cristobal thing. Maybe it's a Miami thing.
But he did it at Oregon, too.
Oh, yeah, that, too. I'm saying, but I don't think Miami helps. There's one time, and I went back to 2018. There's one time. 2021, they went, they had a winning record in the November and later. But it didn't matter because they had a losing record before that and went 7-5 in total. So, I don't know. It's always a question of how you recruit so well to Miami, and I guess the Miami lifestyle just catches up to everybody when they get later into seasons, and that's what it is.
Is it a home and away thing, too, though, because he didn't win on the road very much? Can Mario Cristobal, what's going on there? Because there are a lot of road losses in there. Shouldn't lose at Syracuse. Shouldn't lose at Georgia Tech. I can tell you that.
I think with the amount of recruits you get, you should never have a 7-6. Now, I think 10-3 is a little bit better, but could have easily been undefeated because you kind of gave games away there at the end. And we'll see this year, even higher recruits coming in. And can you do it again? If not, I don't know. It might be a Mario Cristobal thing like you're saying.
What's your guys' thought on SMU? They make the college football playoffs in year one of the ACC, playing the ACC championship game, get their heart broken in that one. But that being said, is this a program that is here to stay? They were better than I thought last year. I mean, obviously, no one expecting to go to college football playoff, but I got to take – and the schedule helped them out a little bit too. But I'll be honest with you, they were better than I thought they were going to be. You believe in what they're building and can continue this?
This year's going to say a lot about them. I really do like Rhett Lashley. And I know that SMU, again, has very, very, very deep pockets. And they will do whatever it takes to financially support that program. I think it's going to be interesting this year just to see how they respond to the success they had last year. Making the college football playoff is nothing to scoff at. Even if you can say that they kind of snuck in there.
Yeah.
That's a big deal for SMU, a program who is in their second year now in the Power Four.
That's exactly right. Here's the thing that happened, though. They won close games last year. They beat Nevada by 5, and they lost to BYU by 3. But they beat Louisville on the road by 7 in a great football game. They beat Duke in overtime and had no business winning that one. And then they lost to Clemson by 3, and then lost in the college football playoff through all that. So they won some games last year and went on the road. But you got to go on the road to Clemson this year. Besides that, they did beat Louisville on the road. That was their best win last year, I felt like. by going to Louisville and take care of that one. So we'll see. We'll see what it looks like in year two of the ACC for them. Any expectations off for Stanford or Cal? I don't see either of those. I think both those are – I think more so for Cal, though, even though they lost a lot to transfer portal guys, keeping those guys. But I feel better about Cal than them. And then Tony, man, I just feel bad about what's going on in Virginia. Like, that's a hard, hard sell right now to try to get him people excited about them. And maybe that's where Chandler Morris can do that. Maybe Chandler Morris comes in and kind of saves that program a little bit. Tony should be on a hot seat a little bit, except for the tragedy. Because we talk about the COVID years. Whenever you have players getting shot and killed in your program, there is no blueprint for how you handle all that. He handled it amazing, but it's almost like you get a reset from that. He's gone 3-7, 3-9, and 5-7. And so that year, you almost get a whole reset. And you deserve that because winning football games doesn't matter at that point in time. And it doesn't matter as much at Virginia. But is that fair that, man, when you go through that, like, how do you respond, you know?
Yeah.
What do you do?
Yeah. I mean, I think I don't know if Milt Louder said this, but God has a plan for everything, and I feel like that's why Tony Elliott was in that position at Virginia when all that happened. And because of that and because of what I know about him, not only as a coach but as a person, I'm rooting for Virginia.
Oh, me too. I love that guy. Tony Elliott is one of the most underrated people on earth. Tony Elliott's an unbelievable man. And I you could pull for Tony Elliott 100 days in a row, man. That guy, yes, get that thing done. Brad Hughes, my Allstate agent. I'm a good hands with Brad Hughes. Good hands with Allstate, 292-3001. Speaking of underrated men and fathers and husbands, I love what Brad's done in his family and his business and how he handles almost every aspect of his life through all that. We love the fact that my homeowners and auto owners have been combined. I get better coverage, better rates. Thanks to my great friend Brad Hughes at the Allstate Insurance Agency. Skip the music for me, buddy. Two-minute drill. What do you have for me, Will Clinton?
A report that came out yesterday, Texas A&M has paid out a reported $51.4 million in NIL deals across the upcoming school year. 96% of those going to football and men's basketball.
And what have they gotten for their cash so far?
8-4, baby.
Like, really, at what point in time, if you're a booster, like, you can come to me in year one, man, when you really need your money, Mickey, first of all, have any, but, oh, man, if you just give us this money, it's going to go to a great cause, and we can do this, this, and this. But then after a while, you're like, I don't know, man. Like, you know, like, I'd rather give my money to St. Jude's and help some cancer kids rather than go play a bunch of rich football players who don't win football games.
There you go.
Landon, what you got for me?
Top 25 college football plays since 2000 via ESPN. Orange Crush just off the top 10 at 13. The Jadeveon Clowney missile, heat-seeking missile force fumble against Michigan, just off the list at 11. They have kick six at 1, Boise State trickeration at 2. Vince Young, his national championship at 3. The Tua Tagovailoa touchdown pass at 4. The App State blocked field goal at 5. The Michael Crabtree touchdown in overtime at 6. Prayer at Jordan Hare at 7. The little punt mishap between Michigan and Michigan State at 8. The Superman force fumble tackle from Oklahoma at 9. And then an interesting one, they showed it on ESPN too, the Ohio State no call back in 2003. The pass interference back and forth debacle in the national championship game between Miami and Ohio State at 10.
Some great ones in there, some great memories in there, some fluky stuff in there as well. Eric Newton, EricNewton.com for all real estate needs. I love Eric Newton, EricNewton.com. Everything I need, I bought my home from him. He renovated my home. If you want home renovations, office renovations, they'll do a lot of that for you. Managing your rental properties, getting your rental property, commercial real estate, they'll do it all. Buy a home, sell a home, build a home for you too. It's Eric Newton and EricNewton.com. Certainly do a great job there. I enjoyed the Ring of Honor stuff today. Check all that out in case you missed it. We talked some Ring of Honor things from Chad down in Columbia. I enjoyed the ACC and the Big Ten and the SEC type stuff today. Enjoyed the little Major League Baseball stuff in there as well. So tomorrow we'll get all those coaches and get to hear from some of those guys, do some win game for those guys. And then tomorrow as well, we'll preview what's coming up in day two of the ACC Media Day. So listen to Faxon and Kwok coming up the next 6 hours of coverage from Charlotte. You don't want to miss all of that. Let me thank Dr. Milt Louder of Amplos.com, our sports and performance psychologist. Let me thank Tony Morrell of TheBigSpur.com. Landon Landman, great job once again. Will, great job. Enjoy your week this week. We'll see you on Monday. That'll be good. Up next, Faxon and John, have a great day. More important tune in tomorrow. That's when we'll see you right here on the radio. WC.